Welcome to the Rom-Com Games, a championship podcast.
Our season starts with 16 incredible,
or not so incredible,
rom-coms, with one movie being eliminated each episode.
Which rom-com will be the winner? Well, that's up to us, your hosts, Ruth
and Kristen.
So let's get started.
Today's movies are How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and Love and Basketball.
Sports noise, tournament, crowd cheering. We have reached episode 9, which is the very first of our guest episodes. Our good friend Tara.
Yay!
Hi, Tara.
Hello.
Tara, thank you so much for agreeing to be our first guest of season 2.
I've only been asking for this for like 8 months. It's fine.
Many of those months we were not on the air.
Fair enough.
She was still demanding it. And we said, one day. Mm-hmm. And that day is today. We're very excited about
Yay!
It.
Yeah, this Yay! Is not your first time on a podcast, right?
Well, I did NetSerk's podcast.
Another friend of ours.
Yes.
Who does a very spectacular, very different podcast.
Very different podcast.
About uteruses? What's it
Menstruation.
About?
Menstruation.
Menstruation. Mm-hmm. Related to uteri.
Yeah. I said you need a new uterus to menstruate.
Listen, I'm not a scientist.
Something about ovaries?
I don't know.
Eggs?
For advice on menstruation, either listen to our brilliant friend NetSerk's podcast. That's not her actual name, so you'll never find it. Or listen to our new and upcoming podcast, Dr. Podcast. We talk to you about all your ailments, uterine and otherwise. So in case you haven't figured it out by now, we all met in college and we were not the overachievers of our friend group in college.
Fact.
Well, Tara, what's your general feeling about rom-coms? Like, what's your kind of history with them? What's your vibe about them?
Well, I do love bad movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying all rom-coms are bad movies.
Because then you would be kicked off the podcast. Well, our journey on movies, the three of us kind of started in, when was that? Junior year of college? And a couple of times we all decided to do homework together, which was obviously very productive, in this one academic building. And we stayed late a couple times after the doors locked from the outside. And we realized we could pull down a projector screen and like get in there and use it basically as like our own movie night. I forgot about this. We would have to coordinate with each other. And through a text chain, somebody would have to go by to the academic building in the middle of the day when the doors were still open. Open a window on the ground floor. Did it a lot. In the olden days, there was a fourth member of our movie watching trio. Our friend Dane. So these two left to go to a party because they're super cool. Mm-hmm. We stayed behind to watch like Mission Impossible 3 or something. And our friend Dane decided that he could get on top of the elevator. just like Tom Cruise did. I didn't like it, but I couldn't stop him. And
like,
he did get up
inside,
on top of
it. Right? Like he wanted to go inside the elevator and get on top of it that way.
Right. Like I refused to go inside the actual elevator with him due to fear.
Yeah. Loser.
I really thought I was going to watch him get squished. I didn't want to watch him get squished. So I'm just standing outside of closed elevator doors. He's in there removing the ceiling panel from the elevator.
So stealth.
All I can hear is just like, ah! Oh. Just like, voices. And then all of a sudden I hear him go, oh shit! And, like, sliced his thumb wide open. Obviously, because it's just the top of an elevator.
Yeah, God knows what's up there.
I guess most people don't normally hang out on the top of an elevator.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to make it very safe. They didn't. So rude. So that's an iconic... I mean, we have just so many stories. We did this so often. Like Tara said, we're very cool.
Okay.
Well, also kind of going off on how cool we were in college. I mean, we never were uncool.
So
but,
cool.
We love to frequent the local IHOP in Burlington, North Carolina. And one time we thought it would be a really fun idea to try to stay, because it was a 24-hour IHOP naturally. So we decided that we should try and stay for the 24 hours. I think we lasted four. And that poor waitress.
No. No. We've had this argument before.
We were there a long time.
We were there 4 hours.
We were there at least 8 hours.
No, it was not that long.
We have had this exact argument before. Tara.
Ooh, tiebreaker. Ooh.
Tara and I are on the same page.
Yeah, 4 hours is still a exactly long time long. At IHOP.
Okay, but if we went at like approximately 8 or 10 p.m., 10 yeah. p.m.
Right.
And stayed until like 4 a.m., like that's very possible that we did that. That's 6 hours.
That is what occurred.
I vaguely remember talking about a 24-hour IHOP challenge.
Yes.
That we created.
But we never completed it.
We did not. But wasn't there like free pancake day or something? And we would just like.
Also another.
Do that.
Those are many of the.
For like.
Many. Also, someone at that IHOP fell in love with Kristen and stole her phone number.
He stole my name.
Stole her from name, a previous from her credit card
slip because he gave me my food for free. He paid for it. And then he found me on Facebook, which means he had to have gotten my name from a credit card slip previously.
Yeah, wow. That's bad.
It was IHOP was really bad.
It was bad.
IHOP was a huge factor in our lives.
It was a big part of our lives.
It was a big part of our lives. Mm-hmm. But now this podcast is a big part of our lives.
Massive. It affects me deeply every day.
I know it does. Every day you text me and you say, I'm torn up that there's not a new episode today. Or you say, there's a new episode. Great day of my life. all right. Well, now that we've just gone so deep into IHOP memory lane,
Do we even need to have an episode now? Or should we
I don't think so.
The message is, or the episode is just IHOP.
Yeah. Honestly, it's a bonus episode.
A short, a mini.
But not talking about the history short. Of IHOP, just our history.
Exactly. Our history. IHOP. No one cares about the actual history of IHOP.
No, of course not.
Lame.
Okay, well, let's talk about things that are not lame. Well, up for debate. These two movies. So, Kristen, would you like to give us a short... a recap of these two movies in case anyone has forgotten.
Yes. So these movies obviously were the two winners from their rounds of the Sweet 16. So the first movie, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, starring Kate Hudson and Matthew McConaughey. It's your classic competition tale. She's trying to get more prestigious work or articles to write at work. He's trying to get a promotion or an account. I don't know. And they both create this like competition of like she could lose a guy in 10 days by barely annoying, and then that'll be the inspiration of her article, and he can make any woman fall in love with him in 10 days. So they're in this competition lock together. She's being really annoying to drive him away. He has to stick with her, and then they fall in love somehow.
Duh.
And then Love and Basketball, much simpler concept, I should say. Two childhood best friends grow up together. They play basketball, want to become professional. And then a romance ensues. But then basketball gets in the way of their romance.
No!
And so they have to decide if they love each other and if they love basketball.
Because it's about love and basketball.
Whoa, I only just got that. Oh, all right. Well, let's dive into it.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Let's do it.
I think we shall.
All right, Tara, I'm very interested to hear your thoughts.
Yes.
On our first category, physical chemistry. Because the type of chemistry, the way these two movies are written, are very different.
Very different.
Yeah.
Yes. So I thought both couples had great chemistry. Because mostly, like, Matthew McConaughey can have good chemistry with a rock. Like, it doesn't matter. That's just his personality. He is... I'm sure he, like, looks in the mirror and has great chemistry with himself.
Oh, you know he does.
Yeah, like, he's just that kind, you know? And what's her name? Kate Hudson. Also, you know, similar in that way.
She kind of does.
They were, you know, they were the kind of, like, flirty, silly chemistry, which, again, is much easier to do than, like, intimate, I really have deep feelings for you chemistry, which was more of what Love and Basketball had. And so, although I do feel like in Love and Basketball, cue Quincy, he like hardcore ate her mouth when they made out. It was very much like, ah, nom, 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 nom. And I was like, wow, aggressive, but like not an aggressive in a bad way. Just like,
I was going to say, but like that. Good.
Yeah. Like, I mean, some people, you know, a little bit of heat, a little bit of passion. For me, it seemed like a lot of mouth.
Do you normally go for that much mouth?
You know, I have kind of a small mouth, and so I think that might add to it. It was just like, oh no, if that was my mouth, this would not work. Not gonna happen.
You would have been devoured.
I would have been devoured.
Nice.
But their sex scene was really sweet and lovely, and there was a great song playing during it, and so that always makes me happy as well.
Yeah. So who'd you end up voting for?
Oh, I didn't say. honestly, this one was like kind of a tie, but I would go for Love and Basketball just because of like range, emotional range.
Yeah. Who wants range?
I mean,
uh-oh. Like, this episode make it combative if you're asking questions like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I ended up voting the same way. And I felt almost exactly the same way as you. Like, I don't have much more to add. Just that, like, I think Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson, they're kind of like a budget. It's going to sound so bitchy when I say it. Please excuse me.
Isn't Matthew McConaughey now an Oscar-winning actor?
Actor. He's also, like, an author, right?
He's a college professor. Actually, his office is like, yeah, he teaches at UT Austin. And my friend has her office is the floor above him.
Mm. He's great. Does he teach? Him.
Yeah, yeah, adorable. Does he teach acting?
I think he teaches something related to film, either like filmmaking or screenwriting, something of the sort.
Good for you, Matthew McConaughey.
Get it, Matthew.
Well, now I feel once again bad about saying that the two of them are like a budget. But I'm going to stick with it, are like a budget Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks in that they pair well together and everything they're in is cute together. Like they just have good, sexy chemistry. But it's pretty superficial. I agree.
Like Matthew McConaughey also has sexual chemistry with like that old lady in the movie too.
Yeah.
Like the old lady at the one of the end scenes where they're at the party or whatever. And she's like this old rich lady and she's like, I love you. And he's like, So he could, yeah, literally anyone. I think he could have
sexual
chemistry.
But maybe that's actually not coming from him. Maybe it's coming from that old lady.
I think it was both.
Get it, old
acting.
Lady. That's acting. Yeah, whereas like Love and Basketball, I really believed in their relationship by the end and also thought that like their scenes together were hot and cute and lovely. Yeah, so I'm just fully on board with that.
They were more nuanced, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I will. Thank you.
Excellent.
Kristen, what you got?
Okay. So I've taken in everything you've said. You've made some very valid points. Mm-hmm. Is Love and Basketball a better film overall? We'll decide at the end of this episode. Does Matthew McConaughey have chemistry with everyone? Yeah.
Yes.
And that's why I had to vote for him and Kate Hudson. It was a tough call. It was very close. But, they make it work.
They do.
But like, now that I'm thinking about it, one of my problems with their chemistry in that movie is they spend a lot of the time not liking each other.
And that's what makes the tension even more.
Well, that is an interesting point because they're both pretending to like each other, even though they don't like each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, they're faking the chemistry at some point, which they are to begin with because they're acting, which is just faking.
Inception. So,
yeah, it's like acting in acting.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Can you tell she was an acting major?
If you take out acting. The middle part when they're in the competition and like the beginning, like that first night when she's like trying to like hook, line and sink at him. And then in the end when they actually fall in love, which like that happens way too quickly. But that is some good chemistry.
Okay, but you just said take out the middle part, but that's like 75% of the movie.
More, yeah, the whole
movie. But they still have good chemistry in the middle part. But if you only focus on when they're actually in love versus when they're trying to compete with each other.
I do not. And I will not.
I respect your vote. I do. I think that it was a hard choice because both of these character options had great chemistry.
Okay, so we're starting off in what I think is a really good place, which is Tara and I being on the same page. And I hope that continues.
Probably will.
You're trying to make me jealous because it's working.
Yeah, that's so. all right. Well, why don't we see if we're, you know, if the tides are going to change with this one. Kristen, why don't you start us out with originality and storyline? What were your thoughts there?
My thoughts.
Oh, no. Okay. Tara, you go instead.
This one was also hard because I feel like neither of them were particularly original plot lines. Because how many movies are there with their, like, I work at a magazine and I'm doing a story that's going to be my life and blah, blah, blah. You know, that's like at least 8 movies. Mm-hmm. And name how many them. Are like, I cannot. I will not. But wait, what was the one with Drew Barrymore and the teacher and she like goes back to high school?
Oh, Never Been Kissed. Oh,
never been kissed. That's, yeah. That's
and then
classic.
13 Going on 30, they're also at a magazine.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's all like that magazine life. And maybe it came first. I don't remember the years everything came out, but it just seems like, yeah, we know that. We know the, like, person living in New York, working at the magazine as, like, a, you know, 25-year-old with their dream job, whatever, whatever.
But she wanted to talk about Tajikistan, remember?
She really wanted to talk about Tajikistan, which, you know, someone should.
There is some important stuff happening there.
Should it
I'm
be
sure
her?
Sure there is.
Probably not.
Should
Probably
it be not. At, was it Glamour? Composure. Should it be there? No, it should not.
Probably not.
But like, it still cracks me up because when I was a kid, I was so pretentious and self-involved that when I watched this movie, I was just like, she's right. Those stupid fashion magazines shouldn't talk about fashion. They should talk about Tajikistan.
They should.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry. Continue.
Okay, yes. And so then, yeah, but also like the childhood neighbors falling in love, like, that's also been kind of overdone. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say overdone, just that it's not like super original.
We're seeing her make a choice in real
in real time. Because
you do a really good job at like introducing the arguments for both options. But then we want you to choose our argument.
Okay, but I have to choose. I can't be I can't be Switzerland. I did think that in Love and Basketball, the storyline with the father, how he is like a wonderful, loving parent, which, you know, we all love to see like a loving father because there's just not enough of them in the world. And, you know, a good, like, supportive father and husband. And you're like, yay. And the fact that they're so close is wonderful. But then when he is actually like a cheating piece of shit, it's like, whoa. Trauma, like my whole life has been turned upside down. And I thought that was a really realistic story plot. And I thought that it was done very well. So I think that alone is what made me be like, Love and Basketball.
And isn't the dad that Allstate guy?
He is very much. You're in good hands.
And really equally important if you think about it.
Yeah.
It's just really
trauma,
important
to note. Okay, all right. Well, Kristen, what about you?
So I also voted for Love and Basketball for this one. Agree with you for both, how they're not really original. The one aspect of the storyline that I thought was original in Love and Basketball's favor was the argument of both of the characters were going through, which is, do I actually love basketball or do I like it just because I'm good at it? And I thought that was a really interesting viewpoint, just because both of them kind of
were
grew up thinking they were always going to play basketball. That was just going to be it. But they never really thought about why, especially Quincy. Yeah. He was just like, well, my dad's a basketball player, so I'll be a basketball player. And he never really thought about if he liked it. And then in the end, when Monica went in to play for the WNBA, which was also newly created, and then Quincy was, spoiler, they get married. Or we think they do. They have a child, which, you know.
Probably. They may have someone else's child. We don't know.
There's a small child with them, and we can assume is their daughter or another family member.
Correct.
Yes.
And they're at the basketball game supporting Monica, who is playing for the WNBA, and it is assumed that Quincy is no longer playing basketball. So that was an interesting storyline to add.
And how much do we think the whole daddy being an asshole thing plays into that? Like, maybe that is what made him really realize, like, oh, I'm just doing this because I looked up to my dad so mm-hmm. much. And, you know, like, I like basketball. I'm good at it. I like the attention. He did say that at one point. Like,
yeah.
mm-hmm. I like the attention I get from it or something. And yeah, I don't know. Could be a big role. Could be not.
Yeah. I really loved that part. And also the whole, like, that, like, so much of the movie was, oh, I also voted for Love and Basketball.
Oh, classic.
Just like BT Dubs. So much of the movie is about, like, what do we take away from our parents and what do we choose to, like, not take from them? I'm sure we're all white on this call. I'm sure that this movie is even more, like, that part of it is even more poignant for, like, Black Americans who are watching the movie to be, like, yeah. our community has grown up with so much trauma. What do we take that's wonderful mm-hmm. from the people before us? And what do we choose to, like, let go of? And so watching Quincy, like, as soon as he finds out about his dad, go and, like, just flirt with a million women and mistreat Monica and, like, immediately follow in his dad's footsteps and then make, like, such a brave choice to be like, no, I'm going to be a better man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I honestly just think probably my biggest problem with How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, I've ranted about this movie before on the podcast,
and she will again category.
Will again is this exact category, which is, I think this movie is, if not the first, the best example of the early 2000s rom-com made in a blender, where they were like, we need to have two hot leads who are both skinny and white. They need to have really fancy, unrealistic jobs, mm-hmm. Fashionable friends who have nothing to do but love on them
and cry,
some sort of, like, quirky slapstick-esque comedy, and then they get together at the end. And I just think it feels, like, really soulless oftentimes, whereas Love and Basketball isn't the most original. Like, it was, we talked about this in the last episode, it was specifically made to be, like, a Black When Harry Met Sally, so it's, like, obviously not gonna be original.
Yeah.
But I just think everything in the movie, I love the, like, the acts that it has mm-hmm. in yeah. there that breaks up. Like, yeah. I just think everything in the movie is where it should be. So yeah. Definitely Love and Basketball.
Definitely felt like the storyline and the script was a lot more thought out.
Yeah.
Than maybe How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
It's a pretty long movie too. It was like over 2
yeah.
hours.
It I was think. Long. Yeah. yeah.
Which mm-hmm. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is probably like what, an hour and a half or an hour yeah. and 40 or something.
I think so.
And yeah, in both cases, I did think the endings could have been drawn out longer.
I agree, actually,
because it was, for both of them, it was like, okay, now we're in love, yay. Yep. The end.
Well, especially because Quincy did dirty to his fiance, like, he was getting married to her in like 2 weeks,
right?
And then Monica was like, no, you love me instead. And then they had that, they played it out,
yeah, and he's like, you're right, I do, but
he yeah. should have, like, slept on it. He should have taken more time. He should have talked to the fiance yeah. before.
I also understand that it was like whatever, 1999, but I was offended that he didn't try harder to reach out to her.
Yeah.
Like,
to Monica?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I tried calling, and she's like, well, like, my shit don't work in Spain, bro. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I felt like, I know it's not easy, like, today where you can just text people or whatever or have, like, 17 million options for an app mm-hmm. to talk to each other, but it could have done something because they didn't see each other in 5 years.
Something yeah. like that.
And then it's just like, oh, wait, I love you. Ha ha. I was just going to marry this other bitch, though, because, like, you weren't here. Yeah. So, you know.
There's definitely, like, an unevenness to their story, which I think they did on purpose. The whole idea of, like, Quincy has a lot more pride than Monica does, partially just because, like, he a man.
What?
And so mm-hmm. she has to do all of the work to get them back together, even though they both made mistakes.
Yes.
Yeah, that part's hard to watch. But I also think it's, like, kind of realistic. If she decided this is yeah. the guy she wants, in spite yeah. of his pride, yeah, she's probably going to have to put in the work to make him see that they should be together.
Because he a dumb man.
He a dumb man. And clearly he was able, like, once they were back together, clearly he was able to get over that pride. Because yeah. he left basketball and was, like, a supportive basketball husband, basically. Right. It seems like. It's, like, his full-time job.
Stay-at-home basketball husband.
Stay-at-home basketball husband. That sounds so nice.
I mean, I don't want to play basketball, but
no. You could be a stay-at-home basketball husband.
I could be a stay-at-home basketball husband. But I also don't want to go watch his games, so I'm not the best to do that.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Sports.
But if you could go with friends and you can get free snacks.
Yeah, but like, do you know how much they play basketball? Professional basketball players? Like, it's a lot.
They don't lot.
It's often. Yeah.
But it's better than
twice a year.
Baseball, because baseball seasons are so long, too. Basketball's
baseball
not too bad.
Games are so long.
They are so lengthy, and nothing happens. Nothing. Sorry, baseball stands. Listen, we don't like any sport.
Maybe a better sport would be like an Olympian, because they only have it every 4 years, and then you can go to the Olympics.
I would totally be an Olympian husband.
Stay at home Olympian husband.
That I can get down on. Get down with, not on.
We're on.
Ooh, underneath.
On top.
I live on top.
We covered all the options. Inside out. Yeah, that's the only other one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Kristen, why don't you introduce us to our next category?
Our next category is character development.
You want to start us off? How are you feeling?
I think this was a pretty easy one. And that it's love and basketball. Yes. Both learn important lessons and both grow as people. Ruth, don't make that face.
This is not my favorite movie of all time.
It can be a bad movie and characters can still grow. Just like good movies, there could be no character development. That doesn't happen often, but it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So wait, who are you saying did have good character development? Love and basketball?
Love and basketball.
Yeah.
I actually don't, like, I'll let you finish, but, like, first Beyonce should have won.
Okay, Kanye. Yeah.
And also, like, I think you need to say more because I actually don't think that they had any character development in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
They did. They stopped their feud, their competition. They actually got to know each other as people and stopped focusing so much on winning. They started to put them.
But I would. But that's not character development, right? That's just like things that happened.
I would say that's character development.
So I'm thinking of character development as in like how did. Like to me, it sounds like you're talking about how did the character develop through the movie. And yeah. I'm thinking of how did they develop a well-rounded character for us. Like the movie, like so the movie should tell us who this character is and they should develop who that is in a way that's watchable to us. And what I thought about how to lose a guy in 10 days. Yeah, there's a lot. Is that there was one specific moment when they were at his parents' house and she's like having this like emotional moment because she's like, oh my God, your family loves you. What the fuck? And to me, I was like, does she come from like a sad home where her family did not love her? And I think that would have been something they could have developed. She could have been like, I'm sad. And he's like, why are you sad? And she's like, because there's so much love. And he could have, you know, asked her about why that makes her sad. Mm-hmm. But instead, she just cried and then they had sex. So that was a missed moment.
Perfect. I took it to be she was sad because they like love him so much and she was like meddling with that.
Right. But that's very superficial. So I agree that she like that's very like something is happening right now on screen and I am sad about it. So I agree with Tara that I think it could have been a moment to be like, and also I feel this way because of something deeper.
Right. Because like my family never gave me that support or something, something. Because she got like real sad real quick.
Right. Real sad real quick. I just can't think of, like, I think this is one of those movies where they both come in as fully rounded people and they just need a significant other. I can't think of a single way that either of these characters is different at the end of the movie than they are at the beginning, besides that they found each other.
Well, Kate Hudson stops putting up with her shenanigans at work. She was, I mean, a lot of the shenanigans was that was just not the right job for her. But she finally put her foot down and decide to pursue a new job in D.C. because they're only writing jobs in D.C. and none in New York.
Nowhere else.
Also, that's true. That's a good one.
Back to hair, cry, cry. She, if you notice, her hair starts getting curlier throughout the movie. And so, to me, character development.
Well done.
And her hair looks so much better when it's curly because it's so dry when she straightens
I think she has naturally curly hair because she just, it seems that like when it was curly, it wasn't perfectly curled, but it was also it was like kind of wild and fluffy and happy. Mm-hmm. And when it was straight, you could see like, oh, that's damage from straightening your hair and, you know, doing too much shit to it.
Yeah.
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 So yeah, no.
So she grew in that way.
So argument is that there's definitely a lot more character development in Love and Basketball. And I feel like we touched a lot of them during storyline. But it doesn't mean that there's no character development in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I almost said 10 Things I Hate About You.
But how does Matthew McConaughey change at all? Like, he literally gets exactly what he wants. He gets the job, I guess,
a little less selfish, we could say. Like 10% less selfish.
It's like positive. So. What am I thinking of? Not positive affirmations. Positive
reinforcement.
Yes, because he's like, I can make any woman fall in love with me. And then he does. So it's like,
that's not helpful. He gets the account.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Frost yourself.
Frost yourself.
Terrible.
Seriously?
This is another reason I don't love this movie so much is because it's one of those rom-coms that seems like it was written for men as opposed to women.
Frost yourself. Like, well, because she used the word frost, but she said a little frosting. That was cute.
If
it was like, oh, get yourself some diamonds. They're just a little frosting or something. Would have been cute. But frost yourself is like, fuck yourself. Like, yeah. I don't know what it means.
Also, that old lady, let's get back to her. She was weird. She was good cuckoo bananas.
She was the character development.
She really grew and changed throughout the movie.
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay, so.
No,
so
she stayed exactly the same.
Yeah, she did.
Her one scene.
Like the two leads.
No, so yeah, in character development, in Love and Basketball, I think Quincy has to go through the journey of, like, looking up to his dad and then kind of seeing his dad as a flawed person before he's able to kind of really evaluate what he wants in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love that. So did you end up voting for Love and Basketball?
Yeah, I said that already.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Someone was.
I was too distracted
listening.
By how mad I was at you. So mad. Tara, what about you? Who did you end up voting for?
I did Love and Basketball as well.
Okay.
Yeah. The characters? Same. Yeah.
It's the correct answer.
It is. I mean,
just because someone has a different opinion than you doesn't mean they're wrong.
But in this case, it does.
I think we all know the truth, you know?
Yeah.
Can't hide it.
Some of us are trying to hide it a little bit. Because some of us are How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days apologists.
Just because I've voted for it once this whole episode so far.
I don't know. We'll get to it. So far? No. In the future? I don't know. Tara hasn't either. So
exactly. I have. I voted for it once.
You have?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, so get the fuck over it.
Oh.
Listen, I have to assume some of our listeners really love this movie, so I think you're kind of a good like audience sort of like stand-in right now.
Well, that's
why
I
relate to you.
I'm the classic favorite of everyone.
Oh my God. Okay. Let's move on to another category that I assume will be easy, but we'll see.
Never know.
And that is social awareness. I'm starting.
Please, Ruth, take the floor.
I will be starting. It's an easy Love and Basketball for me. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is about rich, skinny white people, and that's it. Love and Basketball is about women in sports. It's about the Black American experience. It's about trying to fall in love while Black in America and also while trying to do sports in America. It's got so many things to say. And sometimes I think it lets women down, like we were just talking about, Tara. Sometimes I think that, like, it places a lot of the burden on them.
Because realistic.
Because realistic. But, like, it has just so many things to say, and I think it says them all really well. So, Love and Basketball.
It does, and it starts out hot. Like, it starts, like, the dinner scene where he's like, I don't know if the mom says it or the dad says it, but they're like, are you a lesbian? And she's like... Like, yeah. Does it matter?
Oh, yeah. Gender roles, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they humanized the mom, and she kind of made it okay. Like, yo, it's also okay. Like, it's good to go, like, follow your dreams and do what you want as a woman, but it's also okay to stay home and love your family. Like, that's dope, too.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I loved what they did with the mom. Like, she was still, she drove you crazy at the end, but the fact that they made her into a person as opposed to, like, a caricature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Great.
Cry. Thoughts. Feelings. Let me check my notes.
I agree with everything. I also voted for Love and Basketball. For all the reasons that have been stated.
There's, so many.
I don't disagree with a single one. There's really nothing that's socially aware about How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. And we should say that the theme for today is competition, because they're both in like different sort of like competitive situations. One's obviously a sports, and one is a self-made bet that was really random.
Super weird.
And super at the weird. End of the day, even though they do have good chemistry and they get together in the end, which is what the audience wants, everything that their whole foundation was based on a lie, and you know that is not really healthy or really,
and all stereotypical bullshit.
Yeah,
like, that's
yeah.
all it's based on.
Yeah. Yeah, and the whole...
Like, what do women do wrong in relationships? Because women are so bad at relationships. Men are always leaving us, you know, like...
Also, if I was... First of all, shout out that Katherine Hahn was in this movie. She is fantastic. We love her.
Truly iconic.
You were even great in this.
Even.
Yeah, side even. Character was that actually had their own story and personal development. So, shout out. But if I was Katherine Hahn, I would be so pissed if... Like, one of you were writing an article and was me as your inspiration, and the inspiration was to be, like, a needy, clingy, like, pathetic woman who makes all the classic mistakes. Like, if you were like, you are my inspiration, I'm going to follow your life and dating, I'm going to be like, bitch.
Like, but she was just like, yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand why she doesn't end that friendship right there.
Because she has 0% self-esteem.
Yeah.
As we saw many a time. I guess when you talk about, like, this is, like, I guess 5% character development. That I do enjoy about this movie, it's the rare one where it's a woman who doesn't fit. Well, she's still thin, actually. I take that back. But she's shown to be, like, needy and clingy and stuff, and she doesn't change that and still gets a happy ending. Like, yeah, I do like that. It's kind of unique. Yeah.
I'm down. Oh, and the one thing that I thought was... I mean, there were other things that we talked about for Love and Basketball, but Monica... in the early parts when they're in high school, he's like, you know, kind of a slut and like banging all these girls, and she's like, she like talks about other girls being sluts, and I was like, yo, like, you can't be like, sir, you're not a slut, but these women are. She's like, ew, don't get with that slut. But it's like, she never calls him a slut, but she does, because he is, and she means it. I mean, he knows.
That seemed, I thought, maybe I was wrong. When I watched that scene, it seemed like the director wasn't, like, agreeing with her. Like, it was trying to show that she was immature and she was trying to fit in with the guys and trying to be, like, a not like other girls girl.
Which is the worst.
It's the worst. Except for men.
Except
men
for men. Men. Men are worse.
Yeah.
Not other girls girls.
That's about it. All right, on to our final category. Kristen, would you like to introduce?
Our final category is rewatchability.
You good?
rewatchability. I think in post I'm going to add like a drum roll to really add to the intensity of the moment.
It was a long moment.
It was a long moment. Every single time we've said we're going to add something in post, it has not occurred. So I'm assuming it's going to be a long silence.
Which will add to it.
It will.
People will be wondering, like, did I accidentally leave the pod? Am I having audio issues?
Is it on pause?
Did one of them have a stroke?
All the above.
All of the above.
Kristen, do you want to start us out?
No, I don't.
Okay. That makes me scared.
Okay.
Tara, you want to go?
Yeah. So I'm going to shock everyone, and I'm going to say How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Wow.
And I think it's because I said at the beginning, I like to watch bad movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't always like to think and feel emotional and, you know, like, analyze things. Sometimes I like to just be like, this is trash and it makes me feel better about my life in some way or another.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's faster moving, it's quirky, silly. Like, there's a lot of iconic moments and scenes, and, you know, like,
it's funny naming, too.
It is. It's funny. Naming his penis Princess Sophia or whatever. And then he's like, no, it's crawl.
Not crawl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My personal favorite is when she calls the mom to get the baby photos, and then she like super like meshes them together and they all look like they have thyroid issues.
Yeah, it'd be a different story these days. You could like Photoshop that right in.
I know.
Easy, yeah, make easy. It look really realistic. Mm-hmm. Please don't.
Don't. It's way better it's this not way. A
I voted the opposite.
Yep.
I went Love and Basketball.
That's not a surprise.
As you guys may have been able to tell, I just don't. This is one of those movies where every time I watch it, I like it less, unfortunately. Mm. There are other like bad movies or 2000s rom-coms that I think get like stay fun and stupid. This one, I just get so annoyed by it. And Love and Basketball, it isn't something I would go for on like an everyday standard Saturday afternoon, because like you said, if you're already in a sad-ish state of mind, it can make you feel way too many things. But for like a rainy day Sunday where I'm down to feel a lot of emotions, I think Love and Basketball just makes me feel like I'm like wrapped in a cozy blanket and I can shed like maybe two tears, but then it all works out at the end, which we love.
Mm-hmm. We love
that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Cry.
I voted with Tara. Even though it's dumb. It's dumb. It's stupid. It's just so easy to watch. It is easy to like put it in the background if you're doing something, or just like to rewatch with friends. Love and Basketball is a really good film, and I did really enjoy it. I can't see myself going out of my way to rewatch it. Like if it was on TV, I'd probably watch it again, but I don't know if I would seek it out just because it is pretty heavy and it's like more serious. And I guess it's like, is it really a rom-com? That's the other true question about it. Not really. Mm-hmm. But so I think it was, I'm glad I watched it, but I don't know if I'd watch it again.
Okay. I would watch it again, just not as frequently as I would watch 10 Things That I No, fuck.
Yeah.
I was guy in 10 Days.
but also, like, not that I'm watching that all the time either.
No.
Sounds like you have it on repeat.
All day.
It's on the background right now.
You don't know.
Wow. Her commitment to this movie is unparalleled. All right. Well, shocking to no one because of my complete and utter bias.
Yeah.
As well as Tara's almost complete and utter bias. And honestly, Kristen's almost complete and utter bias. Love and Basketball
easily
swept.
Heavily won.
Basketball's the heavy winner.
There was no question about it.
Really no question.
No one.
It is 100% the better movie.
Yes.
100%.
Hands down.
Yeah. Is Kristen crying currently? Maybe.
No.
She may be leaking tears.
No.
Because cries a lot.
Cries.
That's why she's called Cry Cry.
No, Cry Cry emerged for another reason, and that nickname has stuck for 8 years now.
It emerged because I said it would be funny to call you Cry Cry because of how often you cry, the joke being that Kristen never cries.
Dead inside.
I'm not the only one with a difference of names on this pod.
That is true.
Tara, we recently learned within the past year, is actually Tara. And we
know we've been friends for a decade.
Yes, we've been friends for 12 years, and we learned in the 11th.
Yes.
Yes.
That she is Tara, and never... Either you introduced yourself as Tara and then we just never remembered.
No.
Right.
Or you introduced yourself as Tara and that's your fault.
Which would be on you.
Well, so this is like the classic I'm trying to fit in and be cool thing. Because when I was a kid, if y'all didn't know, my growing up was a little bit different than everyone else's.
She's a unique lady.
A little bit strange. And so, yeah, my family was weird as fuck. And I was just like trying to be... Like, I brought weird lunch to school, you know? Like, I was that kind of kid.
Ooh, what was your weirdest lunch that you would bring in?
Well, I would bring in, like, mian bao, which is, like, a Chinese dumpling type thing.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And people would always be like, what are you eating? Because I was a vegetarian and no one else was. And,
that does sound good, though.
It's delicious. And, like, now people are cool. But, like, I don't know. Maybe kids still suck.
Yeah.
But, like, back then it was like, you're not eating a burger and a hot dog. Like, who are you?
Who are you? I ask myself that every day.
Every day. But so I did originally try to start my life as Tara because, I mean, that's what my name is. but then it was just, it was one of those things where every time I had introduced myself to someone, I'd be like, I'm Tara. And they'd be like, okay, Tara. And they'd call me Tara for the rest of my life. And I was Sad. So eventually I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to call myself Tara. And then it wasn't until I graduated from Elon when I moved to Seattle and I applied for this job. And this guy was like before I had introduced myself, he's like, oh, you're Tara, right? And I was like, I am. Like, you knew. How did you know? And then also living abroad, most people, like most other countries, say Tara versus Tara.
Right.
It's the same name. It's just a different pronunciation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I started going by my real name.
Many long discussions.
We went through an identity
crisis. None of which included Tara. Amongst ourselves without her, because that's the most respectful way to do it.
Of course.
Where we all talked about whether we were going to change how we pronounced our name or not. And we all went in different directions. And honestly, I call you both of them now. So that's the most confusing option. All right. Well, we've wrapped it up pretty darn well. We do not need a tiebreaker at all. But I'm curious to see what you would have brought us if we, for some reason, did need a tiebreaker.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I was like, it can be anything because it's not going to be needed.
Literally.
So what do you have, Tara? Was which couple would you rather be in a threesome with?
Ooh. Oh, good question.
It's tough.
It's tough.
Well, you've had the most time to think about it. Do you want to share your vote?
I could go either way, honestly.
Yeah, okay.
That's because how I feel too. I actually go for the love and basketball couple mostly because I have a girl crush on Monica.
She's so pretty.
I hate that, like, everyone pretends she's not pretty in the beginning, and then when she, like, wears a dress, everyone's like, oh my god, you're hot, because she's, like, obviously hot.
Such a movie thing.
Yeah. she was always hot, even before she put on a dress. And so, yeah, I've got my girl crush on her, so it kind of was like, and, like, they're so buff. They're so strong.
They're so buff. And I'm so weak.
I think that's why I have to go against them. It's because they're too strong. I would be so self-conscious if I was having a threesome with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, Matthew McConaughey is also very buff.
Right.
But
Kate Hudson is so thin.
She's so thin that, and she's like, I don't know. Like, she doesn't seem as strong. And not that
she definitely doesn't seem as strong.
In my threesome.
It's like an order of dominance, like I'm the stronger one of the two women, so I feel more secure.
So I think I just would be, I would be incredibly intimidated by both couples, let me just put that out there, but I think I'd be ever so slightly, like 0.01% less intimidated by Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson.
Okay.
All right, fair.
I think I would go love and basketball couple because I truly believe, and I don't know why I believe this, I believe that Quincy and Monica, if they like came to the discussion that they were ready to have a threesome, I think they would approach me as like an equal partner. They would welcome me in, and it would be like very healthy. Legitimately believe How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days couple, they may just do it just because they were like, well, I'll do it if you will.
No, maybe I'll do it would be a will. Bet.
Yeah, maybe it'd be a bet. And then they would, like, make fun of me when I left.
And they'd write an article about it. And you'd be like,
they would.
Or, because they're making it a bet, you'd have the best time of all.
If they were, like, competing. But I just think it would be about the two of them. It wouldn't be about me at all. They would be like, are you going to do it? Because I'll do it.
I'll do it better than you do it.
Yeah, I'll do it better than you. And I'm just like, I'm fully clothed in the corner.
And you're like, just do it already.
Is that how you normally do your threesomes? Fully clothed?
In the corner.
Honestly, yeah. In a different building, in a different room.
Yes.
Not involved at all. Yeah. So I do them. Okay. That was a good one. Really? But they're also hot.
They're so hot.
It could go either way.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been a spectacular episode. Tara, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We will be continuing on in the Elite Eight. I was going to say as Kristen has called it, but I think that's like what it's called.
It
in
is actually
sports. We are sports.
We are sports.
With another special guest next episode. So please tune in for that. Tara, do you have anything you like want to promote? Like peace and goodness? I don't know.
If anyone just like needs someone who's mediocre at a lot of things to like do some random work for them.
Not mediocre. A++.
A+.
I'm a great person, but my skills...
That's true.
My skills are lacking in just about everything, but I can learn.
She does voiceover work. She has a very good microphone.
I have a great microphone.
She's an actor, trained
I'm
actor.
So obviously I have so much work because I'm an actor.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that you would like to promote just like beaches.
Yeah, in general.
Yeah, like give more money to beaches.
They don't get enough recognition for who they
just
are.
Just like stop fucking the earth over. Please.
Okay, that's
okay,
a good
that's
one.
That's a good one too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would love to promote. Please follow us or subscribe on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And follow us on Instagram. If you've been listening, you know the drill. We don't have a TikTok.
Yeah, I would like to promote that Ruth finally built the TikTok.
One day.
One day.
I accept that promotion. I'll allow it. But
will she?
We're skeptical.
She said she accepted it. It was a verbal contract.
Oh no, I signed. Thanks for joining, everyone. And have a great spring.